Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is WMVP Chicago, ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Carmen and Yurko.
Hello there.
Weekdays, noon to 2, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Thanks to Jeremy Jeffress for joining us today. It was a fun conversation with the former Brewer, now the Cub.
Isn't he, Carm, the epitome of what it is to be a bullpen arm? Last year, he had like a plus five something ERA. The year before, he was very good.
The guy's been very good.
He was an all-star, yeah.
He was an all-star. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Isn't that the essence? Good again. Right.
It's crazy.
The roller coaster ride of a bullpen arm is just unbelievable.
Thank you.
Steve Cishek.
Yeah, well, Madden killed Cishek. Yeah. I mean, he ruined him. That son of a... thank you to Randy Merkin and to Chris Black. I've been making that joke a lot. I'm probably...
I texted to Jesse
every time Cishek comes into the game or he gives up a hit. I start tweeting expletives to Jesse. Jesse just laughs.
Now, if Cishek was a starter, his arm would be fine because Joe would have pulled him, you know, after 30 or 40 pitches.
Don't forget, to Merkin and Black. Don't forget the Coors Light promotion all this week. Text Chicago Chill, because remember, Coors Light is made to chill.
Can you deliver some to my house?
Sure. Text Chicago Chill to 31996. All this week, you must be 21. You must live in Illinois or Indiana. If you meet those criteria, text Chicago Chill to that number, and you will be registered to win the Yeti cooler. We'll load it up with Coors Light, and Yurko will drop it off at your house Friday after the show to get you ready for playoff pucks this weekend.
Yurko special.
Yeah, and we could have games. Well, we'll have a game regardless on Friday night, right? We could have another one Saturday. If it goes the distance, it's time for Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie. Waddle was just marveling at Connor McDavid, and those of us that do love the NHL and watch it a lot have marveled at Connor McDavid for quite some time. I mean, he is, since he came into this league, I mean, he's just one of those freaks. I mean, he's so fast.
When I saw the goal, skilled. I just screamed the F word from the room I was sitting in. My wife walked in and goes, what happened?
Yeah.
I said, watch this.
And that he's that good. And Waddle was describing the look on Olimata's face, and I said, Waddle, I know that look. As someone who is a very average hockey player, I've been in many situations where I'm playing defense, and I know the guy coming is a lot better than me, and I go, oh, blank.
And but that was Connor McDavid in your men's hockey league?
Well, I'm talking about like...
His name is David McConnor.
When you're comparing the skill level, Sylvia.
David McConnor.
Believe me, there's plenty of times when I go, oh, no, not this guy now, and I know I'm dead. And Olimata knew he was dead meat.
I can't believe that dude put that puck where he put it to score.
He's unreal.
From that angle.
Yeah. He's just unreal.
Yeah. That was top.
He's good. And like, he brought it last night. You got to give him credit. I mean, he's their captain. He's the best player in the game. I mean, like, he brought it.
Not a great interview after the first period.
Terrible.
But, I mean, great player.
He's got hockey to play, though.
Yeah, like, no, I get it. I'm not being critical, but it was like, he's leaning. First question hasn't even been asked, and he's leaning out of the shot. Okay, so he leans back a little bit. He gets the question. He starts to answer. He's leaning out of the shot again. He answers quickly. And he's like, okay, am I done?
Yeah.
And then he has to lean back in for another question. He caught.
You guys, Connor, you scored the first goal in game one, and tonight the first two less than 5 minutes in. How much was the focus in this game to get off to such a great start?
Yeah, obviously our start last game was horrible. Probably lost us the game. So I wanted to come out and have a good jump.
What can the team do differently this time to get a different result? We know the Hawks are the type of team that can answer, but what needs to be done differently this time around?
Well, I think, you know, obviously last game was our start, and we've done that. Now we got to carry it through the rest of the game.
All right, thanks for doing this. Good luck in the second.
Time to do that hockey.
I just thought it was funny. I thought it was funny.
Maybe you guys answered this, and maybe it's an easy question. But out of all the years of the Hawks being good in this era, is he the best player they've faced in the playoffs? Because they've never faced Crosby in the postseason.
Right. Yeah, Sylvie, that's probably like as good as Marshawn and Bergeron are. He's like they're not quite as good
right.
as
it's
McDavid.
It's not like the Sedins, you know what
no,
I'm saying?
He's
like,
yeah,
they face good players.
Yeah.
And some great players, but they've never faced, I don't think, the best player in hockey at his peak.
I would think you're right about that.
Old is he? 24?
Maybe 25, something like that. What do you think, Mallory? That's a good question. I think you're probably right, Sylvie. I mean, like you said, they faced Jumbo, they faced Joe Thornton, they faced the Sedins, they faced Bergeron and Marchand. I mean, Claude Giroux in his prime was excellent, but they haven't. He's a different animal. I mean, he's the best player.
McDavid's 23.
Is he 23? Wow. Jeez, it's scary.
He's going to be doing that hockey for some time.
Yeah. For an extended
gonna,
period of time.
He's going to do that hockey already.
He's going to be doing that hockey, man. Holy mother of mercy.
You know, it felt like, you know, and I think you guys made this point yesterday.
These course, 930, when it comes to hockey.
Yeah, no doubt.
This is the show that makes the point.
I think if the Blackhawks find a way to take that puck and they get it between the pipes and it gets to the back of the neck, I think they have a chance
right.
in this game.
Not bad. I think Sylvie had said, though, it reminds us of like the good old days when they were playing Anaheim or LA or Vancouver and we were up late.
Right.
You know, and it was, and I kind of felt that way last night, but they're not as good as those teams. But I'll admit, like when they tied it at 3, I jumped off the couch just like it was 2015, guys, and they're playing Anaheim.
Oh, you did? That's one of my questions. People as into this as like some of the good old days? Maybe some people are more into this because they needed sports. But it is a 5-12, and it's nothing like we've seen before.
I know. But I jumped up. I did that. It felt like 5 years ago, Sylvie.
Really?
And it was 10:30 at night or, you know, 10:45 at that point when they...
Do you guys remember, what was the series? I think it was like with Nashville. And it was when, didn't Pat Foley get in trouble with either the league or with McDonough?
Yeah.
When he was complaining about the late start times on the air?
It might have been with Minnesota. I think they were playing the Wild.
Minnesota.
Yeah. And Foley complained.
Do you remember? You guys remember that?
He got, like, censured.
He said something last night as well about games not being televised back in the day. Didn't he say something last night as well?
God bless him. Do you think Pat cares?
No, he doesn't. No.
Pat doesn't care one bit.
What was Corey Crawford doing behind the net?
Don't do it anymore, Corey.
Why? What
Corey,
is that?
Corey looked really rusty last night. Really rusty. And not as much in game one. I don't know why. But last night, he looked tired and rusty.
Have you ever experienced the rusty Crawford?
Just once. I was 22 and...
the Hawks did last night, yeah.
I was 22 and she was amazing.
Last night, yeah. I don't want to say it.
Were you about to play an instrument, Carm? Is that what you were going to do?
Somebody was going to play an instrument.
Were you going to the horn section there? Is that what you were going to do?
How different is that?
Sylvie's right. This is how we talk hockey.
How different is that than a Portuguese breakfast?
Different.
Okay.
I'm not sure I even know
what the Portuguese breakfast is.
I'm not going to Google that.
I'm not going to Google that.
I think we could all agree that the last thing you want on like a Monday night at 11 o'clock at night is a Rusty Crawford.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And that's going to ruin your night. It ruined the Hawks night last night.
It did. Zetterman, I think, just went to bed. He gave up. He was texting Sylvie and me for a little while.
Yeah, I know.
He tapped out.
They tied it soon after that.
Yeah, I know. I said, don't go. Stay up, Danny. Never heard from him. I think he's like, that's
it. He knew a Rusty Crawford was coming his way, and he didn't want to be awake for it.
But I don't think I would move off of Crawford. I got to be honest, guys. I would still start Crawford. I mean, your only shot is with Corey Crawford.
I give one guy a chance and a shot. Put him in there. See if he can't give you a performance of a lifetime. And then you get arrested, Crawford, coming back from game four.
Listen, the one appropriate goaltending move that had to be made was the other guy, the big 6'7" guy in the net, as opposed to Mike Smith.
Can you imagine 6'7"? Darren Pang was like 5'7". This guy's 6'7". Yeah. He's down on his pads, and like there's still nowhere to put the puck.
Bishop, too.
Bishop's 6'7". Yeah. It's crazy how big they are. So, well, they'll have to bounce back. Baseball's good, guys.
Yeah, Baseball City USA here in Chicago
is really good right now. Let's hope they finish it. And
here's my question for you, Carm, as a Sox fan. I asked this to Meller.
Merkin's already asking me who would I trade Robert for. Would I trade him for Betts or Trout?
Why are you looking to trade him? I'm not trading anybody.
That's what Randy's looking to do.
He's going
to
be one of the best.
He just wants to ruin your baseball buzz because he's a Cubs fan.
Maybe. All right, what's your question,
Cubs motivation?
I don't know why else he would ask Carm, why would you trade Robert?
No. I'm not trading him. What was your question, Sylvie?
But remember, I always remember producing a Cap show back in the day down the dial in 98 where Cap said that he would not trade Kerry Wood for Pedro Martinez.
Ooh, that's a bad take.
He said he would not. That was one take that I'll never forget.
Yeah, that's one that'll come back to haunt him. I never knew that. I'm going to rub that in tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kerry Wood.
Well, listen, I think you could come to – we could probably come to the agreement that there are very few untouchables in life. So you could probably put together a deal.
I'll trade Mike Trout. If you want to give me Trout, sure.
You want to pry Robert away from me for this, and this.
Stuff happens. Right. Like, see Derrick Rose. Right. Like, yeah. Would you have traded Derrick Rose for Russell Westbrook back in the day when Derrick was going well? The answer is no.
No, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
So,
oh boy, Kerry Wood for Pedro. That's something.
Isn't it? I'll never forget it. He's like, I don't care what you give me. You don't trade this young 21-year-old flame-throwing. And, he came up and he took the world by storm.
He did.
It wasn't one of the things about Pedro. I mean, he was really thin back in the day, wasn't he? Like a power throwing.
Oh yeah, I mean
pitcher that it's really kind of frail.
Threw hard.
You're a little concerned about that, aren't you?
Had a great curve, a great changeup, unbelievable change.
Think about some of the postseason performances after that statement was made that Pedro made. Right.
Think about the series against the Indians. Remember when he came in like in the fifth inning?
Is he the best right-hander of his era?
Yeah, I think he is. I mean, Maddux was awesome, but. Clemens was awesome. I think he is. He's probably as good as anybody the last 50 years.
Right.
Look, I pronounced Andres Nocioni at one time untouchable.
Yes,
okay? Did you really?
Sylvie gets carried away.
Yeah.
In the day with the Bulls teams, I used to get overboard.
As a sixth man?
He used to get so excited about like Ben Gordon and Noach, and I'm like, dude, slow down. I'm like,
I was C. Red Fred before C. Red Fred.
I mean, like, he really was. And I'm like, you're crazy. We used to argue about it all the time back in the day. No, and, Ben Gordon and Noach and Heinrich. Well, Sylvie never liked Captain Kirk.
I didn't.
He was never a Heinrich guy.
He couldn't shoot it that well.
He couldn't shoot, I know. So. He's still the Bulls' all-time leader in threes, I think. But
yeah.
That's just because they shoot more of them now.
So here's my question to you.
All right.
Do you get, Rodon goes down, and I feel terrible for the guy. You're already lacking a depth at starting pitching.
Yeah. They're down three starters.
Right. And if you need depth at starting pitching, it's a year where you have expanded playoffs.
Yeah.
You have, the first series is a three-game series?
Yeah.
Correct.
And then you have to go through three more series after that to win it all. So are you just standing pat and saying, because of COVID – I'm not giving up anything. The season could be shut down at any time. Are you looking to make a move? Are there any guys on the free agent market who are unsigned right now? Like, what are you doing for the White Sox
right now? I'm calling up Dane Dunning. So Yurko wants me and Sox fans to take Q back and just dump a prospect. And he's not even healthy, though. And who knows if he will.
Good thought, Yurk.
I know. That's deep inside baseball thinking.
Well, but here's the thing.
You don't even know if the nerve in his thumb works.
I mean, I guess if you're telling me, literally giving up a C prospect, that was Yurko's point. Because what if the season's interrupted in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And they call it?
Yeah.
I mean, why would I give up a prospect? But Yurk said, no, you got to understand. It's somebody that you don't even know about, and he's their 25th-ranked prospect.
Yeah.
Tatis Jr.?
Stop it.
That's what happened with James Shields the last time Rickon tried to go and acquire an arm.
That's true.
In the midst of a late playoff run.
He was 17. Nobody knew he was going to be any good. It's like the Ryan Pace, Mitchell Trubisky. It doesn't make me feel better when I watch Fernando Tatis constantly.
He wouldn't be that good in our offense.
It doesn't make me feel any better.
That, to me, is one of the worst modern-day sports arguments here in our fair city.
Yeah, get over it.
Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be anywhere near the player here as he is in Kansas.
Silly.
That's not the point.
Silly.
The point is he's a better player than the guy they drafted. Period, end of story. That's the only meaningful conversation.
Do you know how many people are out there just praying to the heavens that Trubisky's mind, his mental capacity to play football, all of a sudden triggers this year and he becomes a better quarterback?
A lot of people are. It'd be good for all of us. I don't know if it'll happen.
The problem is it's an impossibility.
We're going to find out, boys.
It's either there or it's not there.
We found out, Carmen. What do you mean we're going to find out?
I know. You know what I think about him.
No, we only know what you say. We don't know what you're thinking about. Well, what you said is we're going to find out.
You know what I think about Mitch Trubisky.
I mean,
I disagree with and I think Mike Lombardi's been really good, especially evaluating Mitch. Like, yeah. Lombardi from day one was like, I don't think this is going to work out.
He can't play.
And I like Mike. I disagree with his assessment, though. I don't think a controlled training camp practice environment favors Mitch. I just don't.
Yeah. Good. You guys could disagree.
It didn't last year.
No, I know.
You made the point it didn't last year. Yeah.
No, what do you mean? Last year, didn't we just hear that how bad he was?
Right, that was their point. It was awful, JD.
That was their point.
Defense ahead of the offense. The defense stayed ahead of the offense for 5 weeks.
Listen, I think when everything is scripted, it favors Nick Foles because he knows where everything is supposed to go and he could process a defense and go through his progressions. Mitch is at his best when things aren't scripted.
Breakdown.
He goes
breakdown.
You know,
I'm still on record. I would be surprised if Mitch is the starter. I would
as well.
The only thing Lombardi brought up about like the psyche is, you know, Foles is probably going to be Nick Foles. He'll either get hurt or he'll stink.
Right.
And then you have completely lost Mitch Trubisky.
How do you bet on Foles starting 16 games when he's never done it?
Right. Like, so that's an interesting part of the argument. I still think Nick Foles will start with
I do too. Are you really most concerned with, are you going to lose Mitch? Like, don't you feel like there was a moment where you lost Mitch last year or he lost you?
How about losing the other 52?
Yeah. Well, that's the point, Sylvie. It's a great point. I mean, the people who know the truth more than us are the guys that are in that locker room day in and day out. Yeah. Like, you can't keep selling to your defense, hey
Mitch
keep grinding. Yeah. Keep grinding because we're going to figure it out at some point. No, when you're holding teams to 17 points per game and you're winning 7 or 8 of them.
Brutal.
It's not, you know.
All right, boys, what's up on the show today? Right, Lots to talk about, huh?
Yeah, we'll start with the Hawks because I want to know from people, were you up and into the game like Carmen? Did this feel like 15? Like the last time there, even 16. Wasn't 16 the year they went seven games with the Blues?
Correct.
And they lost, but still, we were really into it.
Went to overtime, remember?
Yeah.
For
sure.
I didn't turn away last night until the final 15 seconds. I was gone.
Good for you.
Yeah. It was, and then the payoff just stunk. Like,
I know.
When you stay up late and you're eating excessively because you're up late, and that's what I did.
Dude.
It was not good.
What were you eating?
I did a normal, well-balanced meal, and then I had some cherries. But then that wasn't enough, so then I had to go
loading
to the licorice.
The butt gun, as they say.
I went to the licorice.
When these guys eat the cherries, I say it's like loading up the butt gun because it gives them gas.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I went to?
But that wasn't done, Carm.
Oh, what
then
else?
Then I went to the chips.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Very uncharacteristic. I circled back then to the chips.
Cherries.
Sweet, sweet, salty.
Licorice. Chips.
For the entire first period, I sat with one of those big things from Costco, the peanut butter pretzels, and I ate about...
Peanut
butter pretzels, and I ate them for the entire 20 minutes.
They're addictive. They're addictive.
And it's like 9:45, and I'm like, man, Danny would kill me if he knew I was eating this right now, but they taste real good.
Well, you cannot... As a grown-ass man, you can't worry about another grown-ass man and how he feels about what you're eating.
I almost texted it to him. Sorry.
What happens
when you get a Rusty Crawford?
You'll start with the Hawks. What else?
Yeah, we got to play our favorite open, too. I mean, I think it's Mellor's finest work, and that's up there with a lot of things. So were you as into it? And then, like, the power play. I want to just compare the power play to the Hawks to other things with our Chicago teams.
Right.
We'll get into, do we need a postseason bubble? The Cubs and Sox are both good. They both may make the postseason. But is it all fruitless if we don't make a Major League Baseball postseason bubble?
I floated this idea last week. I think it's something they should be thinking about, Sylvie. I really do.
So I think it will.
I think you have to.
And then we have a new contest. with the T-shirts that people have purchased. We're up to $40,000.
That's awesome.
For the V Foundation. Thank you to everyone at obviousshirts.com for the Sylvie Strong shirts. I look at that picture every day I broadcast from my basement, guys. It's you guys in the hallway supporting me. And we have a new challenge with lots of great giveaways. We'll tell you about that next.
Sounds good. Waddle and Sylvie are next. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
When some shows talk hockey, they like to break down power plays. Other shows might dissect zone entries and board battles, or maybe the lack of a net front presence.
Hey, listen, buddy, just keep stopping the puck, and that's all we care about, right?
Not on Waddle and Sylvie.
But In the sport, can't somebody grab? Because the defensemen have longer sticks, right?
If you want to talk hockey with Waddle and Sylvie, you better have a PhD in pucks.
Isn't that true? I thought that was
I don't know that.
I thought that used to be the case.
Because on the Waddle and Sylvie show, they puck you like you've never been pucked before.
Can't somebody who's normally not a defenseman, can he play that position in a pinch?
When Waddle and Sylvie puck you, they bring the lumber.
And didn't they say that it's really tough to skate backwards?
Yeah, you like getting pucked like that.
You may be right, I don't know.
The defenseman's stick was longer than...
I didn't grow up playing hockey.
That's how we talk hockey. I'm sorry.
There are no dumb hockey questions.
Puck me?
Many people, still the basics, aren't known. I don't even know if that's a basic question.
No, puck you.
That's hockey, baby!
When Waddle and Sylvie puck you, you know there's going to be some screaming.
Not going to slip one past the goalie?
Hello!
Watch your five hole.
I got the Vezina trophy working. I do have the right trophy, don't I?
I don't know.
Nobody's pulling the goalie when Waddle and Sylvie puck you.
I would think if you're doing a lot more poke checking.
Hockey talk.
Wouldn't you want your stick a little longer?
The only way Waddle and Sylvie know how.
I'm on the Mod Squad hockey chat board right now.
Hard and in your face.
Mr. Dangles, that's his handle, says many defensemen use longer sticks for obvious reasons.
On ESPN 1000.
Now it's just like throwing me to sights I don't think I'm allowed to be on. Bad move, Waddle.
And ESPN Chicago.
Got the stick. See, it's done. It's answered.
That's right.
The one question I have listening to all that, and I'm belly laughing, is when you say you have the Vezina trophy working, that, what does that mean? How do you work?
That means that your goalie is good.
Okay.
You got it nice. Working.
We
you
got
know?
It working. The Vezina. Yeah. Is
you
it
got
for
the guy with the Vezina
goalie
trophy.
Standing on his head, Tom.
Okay. Yeah.
Last time we didn't have that.
No,
I mean,
no.
Look, I think...
He was standing on his head, but he was out of net.
Isn't it too much to ask from Corey Crawford? You know, you're sitting there, and he was unfit for hockey for how many weeks? He wasn't even at their facility. We didn't even know where he was. We were ready to basically just throw in the towel and say, look, any sort of a run is not feasible because Corey Crawford doesn't look like he's going to be a part of this team. And then like a week before they went to the hub city of Edmonton, then he's like, hey, Corey Crawford's back. And like we talked to, who did we talk to last week that told us that you got to see pucks. You got
to see Eddie. Did you talk to Eddie?
No, it was
maybe
John
it was Abdallah.
Scott.
Abdallah was he's got to see pucks. No, it wasn't Abdallah.
Did John Scott tell us that him and Crawford used to work out all the time?
Yeah.
And Crawford would say to him, I need 50 shots to my glove hand. Okay, now I need 50 shots here. I got to have a feel for this. I don't have a good enough feel for it. And you can't just, it's one thing to be laid off for a while because of COVID and not play hockey for 4 months. And then to come back and have some sort of a camp. But to not be in net in any games for 4 months, and then to not really have a camp.
He looked good in the exhibition game, didn't he?
Yeah, but were the Blues interested?
I don't know. I mean,
we were all
giggly, weren't we? Oh my God!
We were giggly on the heels of what they did Saturday again, where he didn't look like the guy who's won two Stanley Cups in net.
This is an interesting sports radio conversation for me. Just a sports conversation in general. And maybe Crawford is a little bit different of an example. But are we going to not be critical of professional athletes for not getting the job done for COVID-related issues. Because, like, you guys have been busting my marbles for being disappointed in Joey Votto. And I keep telling you guys, like, I expect Joey Votto. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, but you got to deliver. Can I not be disappointed in my top player on my team or one of them when he's not delivering in crunch time in a sprint of a season that is 60 games? And Meller yells at me, well, maybe he's suffering from COVID. And I'm like, well, I don't mean to be the disrespectful ass hat in the room, but we only get 60 of these, and I need my best player to deliver. So when is it okay to say, hey, can we not be critical anymore because of COVID? Like, do we have to say?
But wait, it wasn't the task for Crawford especially yes. high.
Well, that's why I said maybe Crawford's a little bit of a different yes. conversation here, but...
Like, I feel bad. I mean, honestly, I know he's a whipping boy right now for the Cubs. I feel bad for Kimbrel. And maybe he would have been broke if he had two full spring trainings. But the guy has had the last two spring trainings to get ready have not been real spring trainings
no,
for him.
No, it's obviously had an effect on him.
So, like, again, I don't know. Is he broken? Is he off to a slow start like you? Like I said to Jesse about Yu Darvish, Yu Darvish was bad in the postseason with the Dodgers at the end. He was bad in his first year with the Cubs. He was bad last year in the first half, or at least the first couple of months. And then he turned it around. Maybe Kimbrel's fixable. I think what Crawford is up against, and I feel like Crawford is also the most one of the most underappreciated athletes in Chicago sports history. That he will never get his due with the long list of Hall of Famers. Marian Hossa, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Duncan Keith, the other core guys of Patrick Sharp, Brent Seabrook, on and on and on. That I feel that, like, maybe the true Hawks fans do, but no one, how many people go with Crawford's jersey onto a Blackhawks game? So I think he's got that against him to begin with. But, and we'll ask Boyle. I mean, maybe I've got too much of a soft spot for Crawford, but to not play for 4 months, to not have, I mean, was he sick? Did he? I heard Danny say.
No, he had
COVID.
Yeah, and he had flu-like symptoms, and obviously, you know, he's been better. But I'm not critical of him. I guess I just wonder, you know.
There's been a lot of scoring in these games, hasn't there? Like,
yeah,
so the goaltenders
that's
have
to
been,
be expected because the Oilers are going to. That's what I mean.
No, I don't just mean in these games. Like, the Hurricanes scored 4 on the Rangers. You got, I mean, all of these games are at least 5 goals apiece, aren't they? In a lot of them?
Yeah. No, I think, I think that's a product of. You know, more so just guys haven't had the opportunity to
skate.
Well,
that's my point.
So you're going to have some defensive breakdowns.
So are hockey, are goalies at a disadvantage more so than other positions? Like we always say in football, when the season begins, the defense is a little bit further ahead of the offense. Is a goalie in particular,
I would see,
is he behind the curve getting ready?
I could be wrong if, you know, goalies want to feel free to give us a call and enlighten me. But I think part of it is...
Oh, that's good. All the House League goalies.
Yeah, you
call
know,
the show right now.
Let us know what you think.
How many pucks do you need to see before you feel sharp?
But I think part of it is it's not just that. It's like you said, when there's a high-scoring game, you know, it's not all on the goalie, but it gets hung on the goalie because of defensive breakdowns. Guys who maybe aren't in shape, you know, your defensemen who aren't, you know, who haven't been able to log the 25 minutes that they're accustomed to, maybe they're tired and they're breaking down and it's, you know, it's a cumulative effect.
Didn't Corey Crawford also, to his credit, bounce back earlier than expected from some concussion issues and, like, played really well with limited... to the ice experience. He has shown that he has the capacity to step in after being off for a while and crank it up pretty quick.
Right.
Look, I don't think he's, as Meller said, I mean, he gave up 6 goals.
Nobody
but,
was stopping Connor McDavid's second goal last night.
Yeah, I mean.
That was incredible. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. That's just the question that I have. At what point are we just going to give a lot, and I don't specifically mean Corey, but I mean all athletes in general. Are we more lenient with holding people accountable or to their standard? Is it called the COVID pass? Is everybody getting the COVID pass?
If we're all watching sports. I mean, there's NHL on now. There's NBA on right now. We've got both baseball teams in action tonight. We've got tomorrow, Hawks game 3. Waddle wants to know, are you giving guys a COVID pass for poor performances? Because I heard Cap this morning say, well, Crawford did a terrible job clearing the puck behind the net. I get it. Yes, true. But, I mean, the guy, he's barely played. He's barely gotten any reps here. 312-332-3776. And I want to ask you guys this. The power play to the Hawks is the equivalent to what to our other sports teams? And I'll explain that a little bit more. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
And good night for Connor McDavid. His first goal of the game, his second. A backhand and a beauty. And then this one here. A double doinker off of Carpenter, off of Keith, in the back of the net.
Please don't say double doink in Chicago.
It's the only thing that came to mind, Carter.
I get it.
Because it ended up bad for us. That's why.
Yeah, there you go.
Awesome. NBC Sports Chicago last night. They're on the main channel. The Sox were on 201 for me. It was one of those fun nights where both baseball teams looked great.
I give those guys a lot of credit, too. And we talked about this yesterday. Calling a hockey game in a remote location, and we talked to Tirico about this, it's got to be because the puck is moving so fast. I can barely see it anyway. Like, that is that's a Herculean task for a play-by-play guy. You
right,
know what I mean?
And Pat even said when they came back from a commercial at one point, he said, I'm in Chicago in a studio.
Right.
Eddie is in Connecticut at a studio, and the game is in Edmonton. You know, like, to not even be able to see your color commentator, that's tough. You know, like, Stoney's still working with Benetti.
Yeah.
Len and JD are still working together. Then they're throwing in a bunch of guys from remote locations, which is weird. Mm. But they're still working together, could see each other. Like, these guys last night, like, to not even be in the same room. Yeah.
Well, and then add to it, like, Eddie is the best in the business as an analyst, and he's working with his producers to, you know, he's talking with them on the IFB and the talk back and talking to them about what videos he wants to see when he's breaking down a game so he can give you a very detailed analysis. And obviously, he told you a couple times yesterday, they're just getting the feed straight from Edmonton. So you could tell the frustration in his voice because there were things he wanted to point out on the broadcast that he just couldn't because he didn't have the replay available to him.
Right.
That's a great point.
So, listen, I get it. You know, it's a really tough job. It really is. There's no doubt about it, what they're doing.
Tirico texted me at 2:15, Waddle.
Oh, really?
And all he wrote at 2:15 was, so disappointed in you. That's it. Because I totally forgot. Yeah. Like, I was supposed to watch him and Eddie this morning doing morning hockey, and then I just got lost in my stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not turning on hockey in the morning. I mean, like, it was a late enough night watching hockey for, you know, a fruitless loss. And then I totally forgot to watch Tirico. I'm sure he's not sweating.
I think that was pretty easily predicted, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I said to him, I go, because Lord knows, like, when if there's one guy you want in your corner on a hockey broadcast, it's me. Breaking it down for you. So here's the is it me? I think the Hawks power play we've been talking about, even in years they're good, usually stinks. 2010, they're always bringing in a new coach to try to help the power play. And I always feel like even when they're good, we're complaining about the power play. I think Miller mentioned in the pre-show fistfight too that in the middle of that second period, the Hawks had two power play opportunities in back-to-back, or like literally on top of each other. It was basically 4 minutes of power play, and the Hawks didn't score. And I felt like in that moment, that was the lost opportunity. And we've been complaining and bitching about the Hawks power play year in and year out. To me, it reminds me of the Bears quarterback situation, when even in years that the Bears are good, they're winning with defense. You know, they're winning with the running game. They're winning with special teams. But yet we're always trying to find more from the quarterback position. Whether Jay's throwing too many interceptions or Rex is our quarterback in the Super Bowl, that's an aspect of a game that never has changed. We have never had the superstar quarterback, even when our teams are good. And I feel like, is that me, or hasn't that always been the case where the Hawks seem to never be good in
the power play? Well, it doesn't make sense either, does it? Because I'm not exactly 100% positive sure what makes up a good power play. But boy, do they have some really talented individual guys that you would feel like they could mix and match and put something together where it would be a strength for their team. Like, that's what the Oilers do, right? Aren't the Oilers the best power play team in hockey, Jeff?
Yeah. They're the best power play in 20 years.
Right. I mean, 5-on-5, they're good, but
they're not really good in 5-on-5.
But what they make hay is when they get on the power play. Yeah. I wasn't even meaning to rhyme that, but you would think that, you're right, Sylvie, you would think that the Hawks would be better over the course of the last.
Here's another one I was thinking of. Even in the window that the Cubs have been really good from 15 to 20, here that every year we're wondering about the closer. All right, it started in 15 and they didn't have a closer. So what happened? They had to then trade for Chapman. And then Chapman wasn't signed. So then they had to trade for Wade Davis. And Wade Davis was only a one-year thing. So then they had to overpay for Morrow, whose arm was falling off. And then Morrow got hurt. And it's like, okay, now what? Okay, Morrow stinks, and he can't pitch again. Now you got to chase Kimbrel. You know, like every year it seems like in this run that the Cubs have had, they're, and like even I was thinking, like in 03 when the Cubs came five outs away, do you remember who the Cubs closer was in 03?
Dave Veers?
No, it wasn't. He was a setup guy. He stunk too. It was Joe Borowski.
Yeah, that's right.
Jobo.
Hey, Jobo. We're giving the ball to Jobo to close this out.
So, my buddy texted me and he said, like, the Hawks' power play is the equivalent to Jim Boylan's usage of timeouts. But, like, Jim Boylan stinks and the Bulls are awful. Like, even when the Hawks are good, I feel like we've always talked about how can they be so talented yet they can't score with a man advantage. And it just it reminded me of some of those other things. Do you guys have a comp at all?
I think recently you look at the Bears field goal kicker situation. You know, since Robbie left,
Robbie was really good though, isn't he the all-time leading scorer?
Since Robbie left or was asked to leave or was told not to come back or whatever it was, they haven't really been able. And then you bring in this and like even though Dinero Pinheiro didn't have like a horrible year, every single kick is put under the microscope, but if you miss one, you're like, oh, Bears kickers again. It's like, well, he actually didn't have a horrible year if you look at the numbers. But to me, that's always seems like something we complain about. I know the quarterback thing is easy to go to, and I was just trying to think of another.
Yeah, because I'm like, my point is, like, even in good years, it's been it always seems, for whatever reason, that those teams have it. Like, the Bears, we've never had a quarterback.
So why isn't the Blackhawks' power play better?
It's something to ask Pat. I don't know. Do they not have someone in front of the net?
Well, no, actually, I mean, Kirby Dach, actually, since he's been elevated to the first power play unit, he's done a nice job creating room in front of the net, you know. So I think they've gotten better at times. The problem is sometimes they're a little too reliant on Kane, I think. You know, just to allow him to be the playmaker, you know, because he
doesn't
is so
move a
brilliant.
Lot. I mean, sometimes with them.
I mean, again, I'm not a, you know, I don't draw up the power play, but I think sometimes
neither do the Hawks.
I was going to say, you probably could, based on what we've seen.
312-332-3776. PB will join us, Pat Boyle from NBC Sports Chicago at 3 to discuss this. A lot to talk about with our baseball teams. And 5 in a row from the White Sox, 4 in a row for the Cubs. And will we need a playoff bubble? Plus, I introduce again the next member of my top 20 all-time Cubs.
Yeah.
We'll see if you agree or disagree. We're up to number 18. Who makes number 18? We'll tell you who that is and your chance to win a gift card from Great Clips coming up next. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter. Chicago's home for sports and the Waddle and Sylvie Show present.
It's a goosebump kind of moment here.
The countdown of the 20 greatest Chicago Cubs players of all time.
That's a fly ball. Deep to left. Back. Got it. Way back. by Great Clips. Great Clips is ready for you to return for a worry-free haircut experience. Spend less time in the salon with online check-in and opt in to receive a ready next text to alert when your estimated wait time reaches 15 minutes. They follow all CDC and local guidance and safety measures and strongly recommend customers wear masks inside all Great Clips salons. The countdown continues with the 18th greatest Cub player of all time.
All right, now, this is where my bias comes in, okay? I will admit it, that if you made a list, and like, it was some historian who has followed every year of the Chicago Cubs and knows every player from the very early years to the modern era, that a lot of people probably would not include this guy because of the lack of years that he spent with the Cubs. But to me, when it comes to this, this man changed everything. There were several people who changed everything for this window to be open and to eventually win a World Series. I mean, it starts with, you know, Ricketts deciding to say it's enough with Hendry and who can I get, and it is everybody on the table here, and let's go with Theo. You know what I mean? Like, and then it starts with Theo, and he's looking, and then they finally get the manager after they whiff twice, and they get mad. And along the way, there are so many important players that they acquire who made such a huge impact and may not have been for the longest time. So then you have to juggle, okay, well, what about a guy who played for 12 years but didn't win anything? But he was really, really good with the franchise. But I had to put Jake Arrieta on the list. This is number 18, and my 18th greatest Cub of all time is Jake Arrieta.
He was for a short period of time, he was Bob Gibson in a Cubs uniform.
Yes, and think about it. If you go back to 15, and the 15 Cubs were not picked to win, I mean, they were still a work in progress, like Wrigley Field was a work in progress. If you remember, the Cubs were playing in front of bleachers that weren't filled. Like, we're talking about these empty seats right now. I don't know if you remember, when 15 started, they were still working on the bleachers and no one would sit in the outfield at the beginning of the year. Like, they were still doing construction during the actual games.
Right.
And remember, we had people call in at the beginning of 15 where they didn't have enough bathroom space, so they had to bring in the porta potties. Like, the 15 Cubs were a construction zone in more ways than one. But then they started off pretty good, and they were above 500, and they would go like five games above, then they'd go seven above, and then they'd come back to five, they'd go up to nine above, and then something happened. And do you know, you remember what that something was in the second half of 15? It was Jake.
Jake.
It was Jake. Out of nowhere, like Waddle said, turning into Bob Gibson. And it was that Sunday night in Los Angeles, the no-hitter. And it was, climb aboard, fellas. I'm carrying you every fifth day. You can pencil this in, because every day I pitch, you're going to win that game.
Didn't he laugh at the Pirates going into the one-game wild card game?
He laughed at their fans. We have it, I bet, in the system somewhere. He was on with Carmen and Yurko. They did the show with, I think it was at Chicago Cut. And, like, the Pirates were tweeting out how it was going to be 45,000 people, and it was all of Pittsburgh against this team, and there was no way. And remember, the Pirates had been in the wild card before, and they had Gerrit Cole on the mound. Gerrit Cole was on the mound, and it was one game. And if the Cubs don't win that one game, the Cubs don't go on to beat the Cardinals in that five-game series. Schwarber doesn't hit the ball on the scoreboard. And there was a lot of help there, too, because Dexter Fowler hits the home run out to start the game. And Schwarber had the home run in the river in that game. But Jake shut him out. Jake shut that experienced team out on the road.
Shut him up, too.
Shut him up, shut him out, won the Cy Young. Jake won a big World Series game after they lost game one. I mean, like, where would the Cubs be? Where would they be in history if they didn't acquire Jake Arrieta? So, I mean, I bet you there will be people saying, Sylvie, how could you put Jake in number 18? Jake is so instrumental in the success that the modern-day Cubs had, and he was too good in that span, even though it was short. I could not leave Jake Arrieta off my
list.
He
went five innings, gave up seven hits and three earned runs, struck out four, gave up two home runs in last night's loss to the New York Yankees.
He's pitching for the Phillies, though.
Right.
And like this to me, this list is not about the greatest players who had a great career. Like Maddux, I count Maddux's years with the Cubs. He had the one Cy Young year. But to me, if I'm matching Arrieta as a Cub versus Maddux with a Cub, postseason has to go somewhere. And I watched Greg Maddux give up a grand slam to Will Clark in a postseason game against the Giants. And I'm going with Jake over Maddux.
It's really interesting because I'm looking at Maddux, and I'm with you, Sylvie. I actually applaud you for putting Arrieta on your list, because for me, like as a, just a completely, I'm a White Sox fan, but watching what Jake Arrieta did for that 2-year stretch from the second half of 2015, or I'm sorry, the second half of 2014, right? Through like the second half of 2016, because he did scuffle a little bit, it seemed like, after the All-Star break after 2016, but they still went on to win the World Series, and like as you pointed out, he did win a World Series game. So like that stretch though is like the most memorable stretch a Chicago pitcher has ever had for an extended period of time. And now, granted, it was short. It was only 2 years.
Right, right.
But, I mean, that run was absolutely ridiculous.
Just calendar year 2015, where he made 33 starts. He was 22-6. He had, what was it? He had a WAR of 8.6. His ERA was 1.77. His WHIP was 0.86. He pitched 229 innings and had 236 strikeouts.
It's probably the best year pitched in a Cubs uniform, right? I mean, what did you just say his WAR was?
WAR was 8.6.
For a pitcher.
Yeah.
And I get it.
And he threw 229 innings.
People are going to, like someone in Twitch just said, like, shouldn't you just judge their overall career? I'm going to be biased because of winning. I'm putting, just like we do with quarterbacks and Super Bowl rings, weighing something. What Jake was able to do in 15 to start, he opened the window in that start against the Pirates. And that year, he pitched two no-hitters. How long had it been for when we were talking about, like, no one had thrown a no-hitter for the Cubs until Zambrano did it in that weird game up in Milwaukee.
Playing, right. What, the Marlins? Or
right.
When
we were talking about the early 70s. Wasn't Milt Pappas's, like, no-hitter the last one before Zambrano's? And then here Jake threw two no-hitters in a span of a year? And he won a World Series game. He won the play-in game. He fueled them.
It was the most dominant performance over a small stretch I'd ever seen.
Sylvie, you should send out a poll. Like who had a more significant Cubs career, Greg Maddux or Jake Arrieta? And just
the
see
love
what people
for
think.
Maddux, I always have thought is overrated because of.
I agree with you, but I'd be curious to see what the results are. Because,
yeah, I'll poll it. It's a good question.
Because Greg Maddux, I mean, look, a lot of the work he did happened.
So how do you phrase it, Miller? How should we phrase this?
Let's
think about it.
Break.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we'll
all right.
Figure it out.
And then PB's going to join us too. If you want to weigh in on my ranking, I've admitted. I am going to be biased. Jake Arrieta delivered something to me that I had never been given before, and that's a World Series.
Him and Joe Tinker.
Joe Tinker!
We're back in 2 minutes.